I think people need a break, Ewan.
Why?
It's summer. Let's not even talk about why people need a break. Let's just talk about some comedies. You pick two comedies, I'll pick two comedies.
Okay, and now, question. Do they need to be smart comedies?
No, they can be dumb comedies, but they have to be funny.
Let's do it.
If there's a screen, a movie, and a chance to talk, they are there. Cube Critics.
All right, what do you got?
Oh, well, we're not going to... I mean, let's talk about the state of comedy first.
All right, let's... Okay.
Because I'll be honest with you.
Yeah?
A lot of comedies nowadays don't make me laugh.
I know. A lot of comedies these days... What I chose two movies that are seriously scripted. And a lot of comedies these days, you know, even the comedic elements of Ant-Man and the Wasp feel improvised or are improvised, where they figure something out. And I think that there's a... They get intoxicated with their own set and what is funny on the set, and they work some stuff out. And it isn't as funny as a couple people sitting down and really writing a great script with line after line that is funny.
Yeah. I would also...
With a plot that makes some sense.
I am also going to point the finger at Ricky Gervais. Because he started, well, actually other people had done it before, and it's kind of a British thing, but there's an element in comedy now about people being humiliated, which, you know, we all kind of get the feeling of Schadenfreude out of that we enjoy seeing other people
in
pain. Well, I think a lot of people do, and that's, while there's a place for that occasionally, it's not... It shouldn't be everything.
Okay.
So, really, seriously, only two?
Yes. And you cannot mention any French movies, Ewan.
Oh, come on. That's the one I was going to start
with. I know you were. I could tell. The moment I said pick out comedies, I knew you were going to pick out.
Okay.
One of those Monsieur Hulot
whatever. Hulot. Les Vacances de Monsieur Hulot, 1953. Mm. All I'm going to do, I'm just going to...
Okay.
There's actually, at the beginning of the film... There's a little thing comes up, and you read it. It says, Monsieur Hulot is off for a week by the sea. Take a seat behind his camera, and you can spend it with him. Don't look for a plot, for a holiday is meant purely for fun. And if you look for it, you will find more fun in ordinary life than fiction. And man, if that's not a philosophy of life, which I have followed... For all the time I've been on the planet, this is a film by Jacques Tati, which I have loved since I was a kid. I embarrass my family by watching this thing and laughing aloud. It's a black and white film about this goofy guy who goes to a small seaside town on the coast of France and just has a series of misadventures. But he goes through it with good humor. He kind of falls in love with a young woman that he meets, but doesn't realize that she may have kind of fallen for him too. And there are pratfalls, there are embarrassments, but they're minor embarrassments.
I know, I was going to say, the whole point of his movies, it feels like to me, is exactly that, watching somebody be humiliated and be a fool.
No, that is not true. That is not true. I mean, people should go and see this, and he is not a fool. He is someone who is looking at society through his own eyes, his particular viewpoint, and he's a little old-fashioned. He feels the world should perhaps be a little more polite, should be a little more accepting, and so what if he drives the most bizarre-looking car you've ever seen? So what if he accidentally sets off fireworks? And so what if he is the most bizarre tennis player you have ever seen? It's I just love it. Anyway, so
I know you do.
There we
maybe
go.
Maybe I should see it again. I haven't seen it since I was in college.
I have a copy.
All right, maybe I'll borrow
it from
you. I wanted to go back to a couple movies in the 90s, which have a script that I actually think is funny. And one of them is White Men Can't Jump, which I had not seen.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen that.
Have you seen it?
I don't think I did. I've seen so many clips from it.
You've seen clips, but you need to see the whole movie. And the reason why I watched it recently is because on Girls, there was a subplot where Andrew Rannells' character, and he's a great musical theater performer, and he had never done anything on. He played an actor on Girls, but you'd never seen his character do anything. And he tries out for a musical version of White Men Can't Jump. And so I thought, which is kind of funny, and especially funny because the character he plays can't play basketball at all, and they're all dancing and everything, and so all these musical theater people are trying to pretend to be athletes. Anyway, it's funny too, but White Men Can't Jump is about some street hustlers, Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes, and it is written by Ron Shelton and directed by him, and he did Bull Durham, and he made some great sports movies. Anyway, but White Men Can't Jump really is about not just the sports, but the pleasures of just hanging out with somebody and hanging on the course, shooting the breeze, and talking. And I really like it because I imagine if they made it today, the Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson would be kind of losers and boyish who need to grow up in another movie about that. And they feel like full adults in this. It's not about boy men, you know, even if they're behaving goofy and messing their lives up. It is a delightful film. And Ron Shelton, God bless him, it also isn't one where you look back and you think, wow, the sexual politics of this are a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, we're often, you look back at comedies like 20, 30 years ago, because this is like the early 90s, and you just think, oh, it is so sexist, it is so racist, and White Men Can't Jump holds up. No one remake this movie. Let it be.
Oh, and the basketball. As soon as you said it, though.
And the basketball is delightful to watch. Totally. So much fun to watch.
Right.
Apparently, Woody Harrelson could actually play a little bit. He said he's pretty good. I think Wesley Snipes. I'd like to read one of those oral histories. You know, they have the oral histories where they interview him. I would love to have an oral history of White Men Can't Jump. Someone, please make that.
I am going to talk about a film which you can find, and you have to dig a little.
Okay.
And that's why I asked about Lowbrow. Have you seen Morons from Outer Space?
Yes, I have. I went to see them in the theater, Ewan.
Okay. Ah. And
and I, it was. I thought it was very funny, but not as funny as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But I think I went to see it and I liked it.
Yeah.
Can you actually find that? I think we've talked about this before.
You can actually find it. It's very hard. And it's actually
tell
from,
people what Morons from Outer Space. Was it Australian or Kiwi or what?
No.
What is it?
It's made by Mike Hodges, the great British director, in 1985 in the UK.
It's British. God, I remember it's Australian.
No, it's
why.
All those people who were in, what was it, Not Necessarily the News, the Grease Rift.
I would probably recognize these people now.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, I had no idea who they were.
Mel Smith was in it. And the premise is that we all believe that if and when people from outer space arrive, they're going to be much brainier than we are because clearly they got here before we got to them. And one day a spaceship arrives, lands in the UK, and is treated as this great thing because these are people we have to learn from. What the folks don't know is that these are actually all the idiots who have accidentally managed to jettison the commander who thinks they're all idiots, and they can't even fly the spaceship, and it goes from there. And in many ways, they're very similar to the idiots that you meet every day in the street in the UK. And it's just delightful. I mean, it is. It's a subtle satire on life in the UK. The obsession with celebrity, the idea that we should just naturally, assume that someone who has done certain things is much smarter than we are, and it's just a lot of fun.
I remember seeing it because I was I saw it at Harmar Mall, Harmar, R.I.P. Harmar Mall Theaters. I saw it because I'd been a huge fan of The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. I was hoping it would live up to that. Remember? So I really want to go back and see that now.
Yeah, I really want
to go back and see that.
So, what do you
have? My number two is another movie from the 90s, as I said, that has a screenplay, 10 Things I Hate About You. There are all these movies that were made in the 90s that were plays on Jane Austen, or like Clueless was Emma, set in Beverly Hills, and 10 Things I Hate About You was The Taming of the Shrew, set in a high school. And in Seattle, I think it is. And Julia Stiles and Heath Ledger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. He's the guy playing.
Everyone's very, very young.
Yeah, everyone's impossibly young and impossibly alive in Heath Ledger's case. And Andrew Keegan's in it, and he went on to run a cult. So
nice.
Good for you, Andrew Keegan. I think he's in jail now. Keegan or Keenan? Anyway. Anyway, 10 Things I Hate About You is just delightful. It is whip smart. It is feminist. There's actual... They're age appropriate. This was a heyday of. It was the first time that Hollywood actually started casting teenagers. It felt like in movies, and not 30-year-olds playing teenagers. In the 90s, they really thought, hey, maybe like people in their early 20s could get by, and they feel like teenagers. And Julia Stiles' Kat is a delightfully prickly girl, very smart, and you truly believe that Heath Ledger's con man, who is trying to infiltrate her heart and infiltrate her defenses, does win over the impossible Kat. So there's real chemistry. It's great romance. But then it's also that all that 90s huge cast of teenagers and funny music and, as I said, a great screenplay and a great script and really a truly moving, an honest-to-God moving moment in a teen comedy where Julia Stiles, like at the end when she's confessing her love, it is delightful, and it will, if you've seen it before, it will transport you back to the 90s. If you watch it with your children, you can discuss the terrible fashion choices that were made at that point. Although they're kind of back in.
The tattoo necklaces
and stuff, so maybe your children will be inspired by it.
I saw some pants recently. I thought, oh dear.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, it's all coming back to the 90s. Anyway, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Can I just throw out one other thing?
No.
I'm just kind of, yes.
No.
I told you only two,
although I slipped in Buckaroo Banzai.
Yes, yeah, you did, yeah.
I'm just curious.
Why
I will eternally love John Lithgow.
Yeah. Kung Fu Hustle. Do you remember Kung Fu Hustle?
Oh,
Stephen
Chow? I remember Kung Fu Hustle, and it felt long and dumb to me. But now I feel like it was the biggest movie in China's history at the time. I bet my kids would like to watch that. They'd be totally into it.
Stephen Chow, the director and the star, made this film, which is, I think it's kind of an homage to Tex Avery in many ways, even though it's a kung fu film.
Yeah.
And it's about this guy who's trying to help his family, and there's gangsters. I mean, it's just a really silly.
Goofy, silly, wise people.
Yeah.
And old people.
And just really... kind of
amazing set pieces
and incredible special effects. And there's actually at the beginning there's kind of a pretty violent scene where the gangsters come in and they're kind of nasty, but after that it just becomes this bizarre wonderful romp.
Ewan, why did talking about 10 Things I Hate About You remind you of Kung Fu Hustle? Why did that come up in your mind?
No, it was I was thinking. And I just thought, I wonder if Stephanie remembers.
I do remember that. I remember
he came here.
I remember meeting him. Yeah, Stephen Chow. Hardly doing it. I can't even remember. Does he do anything anymore? He must. He was huge.
He was huge. But and he also made this other movie, World Cup theme, Shaolin Soccer.
Yes.
Which is
oh my gosh, Shaolin Soccer. I forgot about that.
People who could knock down walls with their soccer shots. I mean, again, just completely bizarre, but. I think he's made a couple of films since, but maybe he made enough money.
All right, we've been talking too much here.
Okay.
Let's go over these things. White Men Can't Jump. Holds up, people. Tons of fun. You should watch it from start to finish. And it's just about the joys of people talking. And also makes you want to go out and play basketball. Number two, 10 Things I Hate About You. If only people actually wrote screenplays.
Shakespeare did a pretty good job.
It was good.
And then Les Vacances de Monsieur Hulot, also known as Monsieur Hulot's Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find it, Morons from Outer Space.
I should go back and see that. Yes. I think I remember watching it and hoping it would be as good as Buckaroo Banzai. I was a little disappointed, but I remember for at least a week at school, Karen O'Mara and I were like saying little taglines from our little punchlines from that movie.
Just the moment when the guy in his spacesuit, floating in space, sneezes inside his visor.